Welcome to episode 66 of the Golf Talk Podcast, the Open Championship Edition. This is Eric Borzeski, and joining me is Jeff Smith this week. Hello.
Hello, Eric.
All right. Well, this week, again, all Open Championship, all the time. Patrick Harrington won the British Open, the Open Championship, the non-US Open, Open, whatever you want to call it. I'll go with Open Championship. He wins the 2007 Open Championship in a four-hole playoff over Sergio Garcia, this after finding the burn twice on the 18th hole in regulation and making a double bogey to fall from 9 under par to 7 under. He had it to, what was it? He had it to 8 under for the day?
He had it to 9 under, I think, before the collapse.
For the day.
Oh, for the day.
He was 3 under, 6 under. He ended up 4 under for the day. So he had it to 6 under for the day. A good round. Of course, 65 that would have been until he found the burn twice. His ball bounced across the walkway and almost made it, but didn't. And then he chunked his next one into the burn and got up and down, I think, for a six. But that was in regulation, of course. Garcia then came to the last hole with a one-shot lead, found the bunker front left, had a 10-footer to win. It looked, honestly, pretty good for a long time, but just didn't come down enough, missed on the left side, the high side, and four-hole playoff. Patrick birdies the first hole, is able to bogey the last hole and still win by one shot in the four-hole playoff. So were you impressed by Patrick Harrington's comeback? He was in it all week, but started the day at minus three, six behind Sergio
Garcia.
I think
you know, everyone's going to give a lot of kudos to Patrick for the kind of finish that he had. Obviously, kind of put a black eye on the day that he had going. Of course, he finished round four with a 67, a very respectable score on the final day. But to see him put the ball into two of those hazards was just amazing. And of course, you knew they were going to cue Vandeveld anyway all week. And so kind of flashes of Vandeveld there, but he redeems himself by coming out with the win, obviously. But yeah, what a story coming down the stretch there.
I think Harrington's double dunk may actually push Vandeveld to the side. So, you know, in 9 years or 8 years or whenever, if they get back to Carnoustie, we won't have to hear so much quite about Vandeveld. They'll say, yep, in 99 this happened, and then in 2007.
Yeah, and thank God. Well, it is a bigger story, simply because Patrick won. But to find two of those, my goodness, what a way to...
Eerily similar, though. Goes into a playoff immediately, and, you know, Vandeveld was never in the playoff. I mean, he was in the playoff, but he wasn't really in it. He had no real chance. I think he doubled the first hole, or, you know, he didn't get off to a good start. Harrington birdied the first hole. Shoved it in there to 6 feet or so. Sergio Garcia, I don't know if he chunked one, but it was well short. So
well short, yeah. And I think Patrick came into the playoff with a little kind of relief, I think. You know, Sergio had missed his putt, and so Patrick probably carried a little energy into the playoff that Sergio probably didn't have, simply because he'd carry the lead every day. And then to have that disappointing missed putt right at the end, it was just a fraction off, and that would have sealed it. But right. What a finish.
No, 67. I think Patrick Harrington's six-shot comeback, if it weren't for Paul Lawrie's 10-shot comeback, would be one of the biggest comebacks in Open Championship history to win. I think it would have been the top one, if not for, again, Paul Lawrie's 10-shot comeback in 99. We can't take anything away from Patrick Harrington. We can, however, transition here to Sergio Garcia and ask the question, did he choke the Open away? Steve Stricker began the day the only guy within six shots of him, or the only guy within five shots or less, I should say. Steve Stricker never really applied any pressure, missing a few short putts. We'll talk about him later. Garcia, a 2-over-73 when he had held the lead all week.
Yeah, this is obviously not the kind of score that Sergio wanted to put up on the final day. You know, it's a kind of, granted, it's not as bad as some of the times we've seen Sergio play on Sunday, but this is not what he wanted to do, was put up a 2-over on the final day. And
did he choke the Open away?
Choke is a strong word, but I think that there was elements of choke in it.
It was more of a five-hour gasping for air kind of thing then?
Well, he had been pressing so hard, and he just was not able to make some of those critical shots. I think he wasn't able to set himself up very well for those good putts that, you know, that's where he could have made up some real ground and come in with a, you know, a 69, a 70. That obviously would have done it.
Right, he had a four-shot lead after a birdie at the third hole. Then he made bogeys at the fifth, seventh, and eighth to let, the circle says, the world back into the tournament.
Yep.
And what was disappointing, perhaps, for me about Sergio Garcia is, frankly, I didn't want him to win. I don't think any guy that, again, spits in a cup and possibly breaks a rule as far as, like, standing on a sprinkler head and then gets in a fight when a caddy kind of mentions it to someone that he may have been standing on the the sprinkler head after taking relief from it. But again, the spitting in the cup and, oh, it's no big deal, blah, 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 all that crap. I was not rooting for Garcia. It would have been okay if he'd won, but I was not rooting for him. And then his poor attitude continues in his post-round press conferences and stuff. He blames the outcome on a bunch of bad breaks. He blames hitting the flag stick on the 16th hole, and the ball went to 20 feet away. Nick Faldo said, hey, it's a good thing it took some of the momentum off. It might have been 35, 40 feet away. Mm-hmm. He blamed a lot. He said, I had bad luck. He said, it's not the first time, unfortunately. I don't know. I'm playing against a lot of guys out there, more than the field, as if the golf gods are, like, conspiring against him. Dude, you shot a 73 on the final day of the Open Championship, and then you failed to get things done in a playoff. You had a 10-foot putt to win. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, unfortunately, what Sergio was doing is kind of cementing himself as a bit of a whiner in the sport. I don't know. I mean, from the outside, not knowing, and everyone probably knows our opinion of Sergio Garcia. We haven't been entirely complimentary of him simply because of his boneheaded actions that you've mentioned. But, you know, 73, you can't complain. I mean, a 73 in the British Open, this is a major, one of the biggest events of the year. He played well. He didn't, you know, again, he didn't go out and grab it. But to react the way that he did, I think is in poor taste. And it's unfortunate. From my perspective, I wasn't really rooting for Sergio, but my feeling prior to that final round was, you know what, I hope for his sake he doesn't choke it away because – you know, we've just seen this far too often, and it's, you know, past time for Sergio to put up or shut up.
Right. I was also not rooting for him necessarily because he had a belly putter going the whole week, and no belly putter has ever won a major championship, at least on the PGA Tour. Probably the Champions or LPGA Tours it has, but not on the PGA Tour. It's never won a major. I'm kind of on the side that I don't really like them. I don't necessarily think they should be banned. I don't know. I have a funny thing. You know, it's anchored to your body. Part of me was hoping that he would win with it because then the debate would come front and center and people would discuss it. But part of me was hoping that the streak of nobody ever winning with one would continue because in my mind, that almost makes it a moot issue.
Right.
So, but he did have the belly putter going. It was working for him pretty well. But the greens were soft on Sunday. Balls were sticking. Even, you know, 4 irons, 3 irons were not traveling that far. So should have been a ball striker's paradise, and Sergio Garcia is widely regarded as one of the best ball strikers, so really he has no excuses. It was all on him. He shot a 73. He was paired with Steve Stricker. It's not like he was paired with Tiger Woods and wilted in the face of, you know, another Woods major victory or anything like that. He was paired with Steve Stricker. Shouldn't have felt much pressure. So
yeah. Well, I think the pressure's on him now to react in a different way. I mean, he's got to approach the game differently than come away in the final round and moan about his performance, or not his performance, but bad breaks and so on. You know, I think everybody would say, Sergio, you know, you earned that 73, for better or for worse. That's your score. That, and every other player has to deal with that week in and week out. It's not as if we don't know as amateurs that's the way golf is played.
Well, it'll be interesting. I've said on this very podcast that I kind of changed from saying Sergio was the best player never to have won a major to saying he may never win one. Actually, I think I've said that I don't think he'll ever win one. I was going to be the first to admit that I was wrong, but now I don't have to, and I'm still sticking to it. I don't know that he has the mental gumption. He had effectively a 6-shot lead on everybody but Steve Stricker, who lacks guts, but we'll talk about him later. So he had basically a 6-shot lead and couldn't pull it off. So,
yep.
finally, before we go to break, Andres Romero. I think this guy did choke. I define a choke as a mental block or just a brain fart that results in a bad play. And Andres Romero on the 17th hole has his nasty lie in the rough, decides to hit a 2-iron out of it, skulls it, it hits the brick wall on the side of the burn and shoots like 80 yards across the 18th tees and out of bounds. Then he takes a drop, gets a much better lie, hits like a 3-wood or a 5-wood or something onto the green and makes his double bogey. But the guy didn't make a par after the 7th hole. It was all birdies, eagles, or no birdie, no eagles. It was all birdies and like double bogeys and bogeys. including a bogey on the last hole. But that 2-shot thing on 17, he finished 1 shot out of a playoff.
Yep, that was a killer.
And this is what I like. In his post-round interviews, he was like, hey, third, not bad. I'm pretty happy with that. Yeah, I probably could have done something different on 17, but I thought I could hit it, and I'm happy with how I finished. I played a good round. I made up a lot of ground in the third in the British Open. That's pretty good compared to Sergio.
Well, a case could be made I think. Now you look from the he played an outstanding round. I mean, really, apart from two holes, he had a really good round going. He had two doubles and two bogeys. A case could be made that he was playing the type of golf that was either going to yield low scores or it was going to yield blow-ups, which right. is what we saw both of.
From the eighth hole on, he had made three birdies and all pars from the first to the seventh hole. And then eight was birdie, bogey, birdie, birdie, double, birdie, 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 double, bogey.
So, yeah, unfortunate that he had to come in
three
like
over
that
in the last two holes.
Because he was playing outstanding.
Oh, he was holding every putt he looked at and sticking it. And,
it was beautiful to watch, and it's unfortunate that he had to finish that way.
We almost had another Argentinian winning an Open.
That would have been a story.
Well, we'll continue with the story when we return right after this break from Titleist.
7 years ago in Las Vegas, Nevada, the Titleist Pro V1 made its professional debut.
I won with it the first time I put it in play.
It was an instant phenomenon. Number one on every worldwide professional tour. Number one with PGA professionals, with collegiate players, top amateurs, men, women, and juniors.
Seems like everybody plays a Pro V1.
The Pro V1 became the uncontested standard of performance. And best-selling ball in golf shops everywhere.
It's my number one seller, by far.
Nothing else comes close.
Now there's an all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X.
I won the first time I put it in play.
Pro V1X does what I want it to do.
The Pro V1X gives me better distance control.
I love the new alignment line.
It gives me more confidence.
The new Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X. Better than ever.
And welcome back. We're going to talk about some of the other semi-contenders or some of the other top finishers this week. First, we'll talk about Phil Mickelson, who missed the cut.
Whoops.
By two. Bye, Phil. That playoff loss in the at Loch Lomond apparently did not benefit him very well. It should be noted, too, that Padraig Harrington won in a playoff the week before at the Irish PGA Championship. He beat up on some club pros, basically, but still had to go to a playoff with one of them. But he wanted to play there because it was more links-like golf. So maybe his plan was a little better than Phil's. But yeah, Phil.
Goodbye, Phil.
Disney Europe. But here's some of the other guys. Richard Green had a great final round. He finished tied for fourth.
Final round 64.
He was the leader in the clubhouse for a long time. You know, when the leaders came to the, well, Andres Romero was at -9 or so. Or he was like -9, so -5 didn't look so good. But then they all, you know, bogeyed and doubled coming in. So it looked good. But final round 64 gets him a T4. Great play from Richard Green. Ernie Els finished T4 with a final round 69. Not the best final round, but he improved his score almost every day. 72-70. 68, 69, and finished -5. Ernie Els has a lot of high finishes, but he never fell in it. He had a shot so fat on the 18th hole, it didn't even make the burn.
Yeah, and his putting, I think Zinger noted his putting has just been questionable.
He switched putters about 10 times in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, so he's not doing those little things that used to result in majors and lots of victories. But it was good, you know, it was good to see, again, Ernie up in the top 10, top 5. Whatever, it'd be nice to see him eke out another win here sometime in the next, 10 years?
Yeah. Hunter, his three-year plan to take over Tiger's spot is...
it's not working.
Not working so well. He did finish ahead of Tiger, but oh well. Hunter Mahan and Stuart Sink also finished ahead of Tiger and were the top Americans. I predicted Stuart Sink, maybe J.J. Henry, who's further down the list, would be high up on the list. And here Stuart Sink is. And Hunter Mahan, kind of a surprise. Probably glad he decided to make the trip across the pond. We talked about him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think he probably was kind of happy he did that.
Yeah, so they both finish at -4 in a T6 position. And Ben Curtis, who I think gets a little disrespected, finishes T8 at -3. He won twice last year, and he won the British Open, of course, several years before that. But he's still a young guy. He has a good swing. He didn't know necessarily how to deal with the pressures of being the Open champion a couple years ago, but he won twice last year and finishes high again.
Oh, he proved himself to me last year, a couple of wins. And as you might have just been going to say, he finished with a 65. So that's real strong on the final day, 3 under for the tournament. Didn't have a very good first 2 days, but his weekend was stronger. So that was good to see him.
Made the cut on the number and finishes tied for eighth. Mike Weir and KJ Choi finishing at -3 also with a 70 and a 71. Peña Choi was in the lead, I think, or he was in second. He played in the final group with Sergio in round three, but kind of bumbled around to a 72. But Peña Choi having a great year.
Won the prior week.
2 weeks before, yeah. Steve Stricker, a 74 in the final round. This was to finish at minus three total. He started, of course, three shots back of Sergio at minus six. Not a great final round for Steve Stricker. Missed several putts inside of 4 feet, many for birdies. So, you know, when Sergio dumps one in from 5 feet and you have a three-footer, you kind of got to make it.
That's a choke right there. And boy, his iron play, isn't that something with the short irons? He is so good. And yet...
He needs to start putting with his wedge.
I think maybe so.
And finally, Tiger Woods finishing tied for 12th. Tiger just... has he had his A game yet this year?
He has just kind of fought it through.
He's won three times. He finished second in the first two majors. But has he had his A game yet this year?
Oh, well, of course not. I mean, he had his A game there with, what, seven events in a row on into 2007. So obviously he was on a tear in recent memory. But no, I mean, obviously he hasn't played very well. And it's unfortunate. You always seen him in the majors here recently, kind of lurking in the background, but not much, nothing big.
Right. Finally here, Jim Furyk, not the final round people predicted for him. 70, 70, 71, 71 to finish at minus two. Just kind of sputtered again. And that's what I said last week on our open preview show. Jim Furyk just has not closed anything this year. More of the same in the British Open. Finally, Chris DeMarco kind of fell apart on the last day. He was around the lead, found around 75 to finish at plus one. He was making things exciting early on. And Ian Poulter, my pick, my surprise pick, made the cut and finished tied for 27th. Beating the likes of Paul Casey, Lucas Glover, Vijay Singh, Sean McKeel, but that doesn't really count for much.
Yeah, well, U.S. Open winner.
Yep.
So,
a lot of people. So.
And I should mention that in passing, last week you asked me spur of the moment who I thought would win. I said Jeff Ogilvie and Padraig Harrington.
Yeah, well, Padraig Harrington, I must take credit, is on my fantasy team last week. So.
All right.
I got mucho puntos for those.
Right.
Finally, quickly here, two last quick stories. Paul Azinger invented the belly putter, but he says he had one of the long putters, like those chin putters, or, you know, the actual long putters that some short guy had, and he stuck it in his belly button and was hitting everything in the pro shop, all the furniture. I took it out and won with it on the PGA Tour at the Sony Open by 7 strokes, 99. So Paul Azinger invented the belly putter.
Congratulations, Paul.
It reminds me of the commercial that David Faraday's like, if you don't have a belly, I think you shouldn't be allowed to have it. It's a two-shot penalty. Sergio Garcia, not much of a belly, but
he's
the belly putter. Finally, Gary Player decided to point the spotlights at himself and declare that he knew of people that were taking drugs in golf. He knew the number might be at least 10. It may be as high as many, many more. He knows of at least one for sure, but because he made an oath, he won't tell us.
Isn't he noble?
Then why bring it up, Gary? That's the reaction a lot of people are having. Why bring it up? It's like, I know a secret, but I'm not going to tell you. Don't tell us you know a secret. Just...
Yeah.
It's way to protect the field, too. If you know of a guy that's cheating, way to not tell us.
Well, and what I don't appreciate, I mean, you know, if he knows the guy who's cheating, obviously something should be done about that. If he believes in the integrity of the game, something should be done. What I have a problem with is his speculation that, oh, there's at least... 10 others and to throw around numbers without having any hard facts, I think is really unfortunate and really kind of undercuts the game that I think he's tried to promote for so long.
Maybe the oath he made was to his wife and he wouldn't reveal that he was taking drugs. I doubt it, but
Player all roided out? I don't think so.
Nobody knows. Why bring it up if you're not going to tell us? Neener, 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 I know a secret.
Right, well, it's because he feels like he's, you know, one of the inside guys. And, you know, obviously, I think something should be done about this.
I'm tired of Gary Player. You know, he's just always bragging about himself. And then he pulls this stunt. It's like, I've flown over 14 billion miles playing the wonderful game of golf.
That's a lot of free tickets. Of course, he doesn't need any free tickets.
Gary Player should go off into the Black Knight. That was a good pun, huh?
Very excellent pun.
That's right. Well, we're pun with this podcast now.
Oh, dear.
That concludes episode 66 of the Golf Talk Podcast, the Open Championship Recap Edition. Sergio, quit your whining. Gary, keep your secrets to yourself. And congratulations, Padraig Harrington. Well-deserved. You get a golf clap.
Yes, indeed.
And Again, that does it for episode 66. Check out our show notes. There won't be many links this week because you saw what happened. But every week we link to the articles that we quote and talk about. You can, of course, also join our forum at thesandtrap.com/forum. You can create forum topics that we will discuss perhaps on the show. For Jeff Smith, this is Eric Brzezinski saying, shut up, Gary. And Sergio.
Hey, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
And hey, a European wins the major.
Oops. How about that?
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.